Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
You know, we're in the middle of a sermon series, like Pastor Bob said, it's hashtag blessed, right? And we've been talking about what it really means to be blessed. You know, you hear people say that all the time. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. What does that mean, right? So we've been talking about that. And one of Jesus's most famous sermons was the Sermon on the Mount, right? And in this message, he talked about specific blessings for those who were his followers. And those blessings are called the Beatitudes. That's actually how he kicked off that sermon, with the Beatitudes. And they're found in Matthew chapter 5. So I'm hoping y'all brought y'all's paper Bibles today, because you know what? You need a paper Bible. Even this is my favorite Bible. It's got red letters and the dog chewed on it, right? So even that dog needs to be saved. But anyway, hope you brought your paper Bibles, because that's what we're going to call, we're going to preach for, I'm going to preach from Matthew chapter 5. So in Matthew chapter 5, the first week we started was the first week of October, and Pastor Bob kicked it off in a really, really powerful message about how when we get to that realization that we are spiritually bankrupt without Jesus, then we are truly blessed. Then the second week, I focused on Matthew 5:4, where it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will find comfort." You know, it's when we're truly broken, we truly mourn over our own sin and even the sin of the world, that we can receive comfort. Right. We're healed, we're restored. And if we lean into God in that process, we grow closer to him. Amen. And then in week 3, Michael brought a powerful word on Matthew 5:7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And he reminded us that we all need mercy. We all need mercy, so we have to give it to others. And we do this by showing compassion, compassion to the hurting. We show mercy when we share the gospel of Jesus to those who are lost, and when we walk in forgiveness. And last week, Pastor Bob set it off up in here. If y'all weren't here, you got to hear the podcast. He lit it up. And he talked about Matthew 5:5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Meekness is not weakness. Right. It's not passivity. Right. It's actually power under control. Yeah. And when we operate from a place of meekness, God promises us abundant peace in our life. Amen. And today, I want to talk about Matthew 5:6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled." Amen. Before I get started, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for inviting us into your house today. You called us to worship, and everybody here answered that call, Lord. So we ask for just a touch from you, Father. I pray that you just take control of my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the very breath in my lungs, Lord. I surrender it to you, Father, and I ask you to speak through me. And I pray, Father, that your word touches us right where we need it, and that our lives are changed forever by the power of your Holy Spirit and your beautiful word. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 The other day, I don't know why I came up with this idea, y'all. I don't know what I was thinking. I arranged a photo shoot with us and the grandkids, right? Well, just like, I don't know how many we have here. We got like 14 altogether, but a whole bunch of them here too, right? And so I arranged for this photo shoot because I thought, man, I have a new grandbaby and the one that we have is so old. So we went out, we took the kids to go have the, it was so old. Well, it was, we were missing half of them. But anyway, we went out to this place. We met the photographer. We did the deal. And then we were all hungry by then. Man, it was like, oh my gosh, I was like herding cats. Okay. All these little, and we got one, we always can rely on her to just light it up. She's just a little ray of sunshine bouncing around. She did not disappoint. But anyway, we were hungry when it was all over, so we went out to eat, and I was sitting there, and I was talking to one of my daughters, and she said something that really caught my attention. She said, "Mom, I don't ever, ever want to do anything that hurts God's heart. I'm just at a point in my life where I don't want anything to do with sin." And then as we were talking, she said, I don't understand why some people who say they're Christians just keep on living like they never were saved at all. And, you know, she wasn't saying it in a judgmental way. That's not her heart at all. She was genuinely wondering, why is it that some people who say they follow Jesus act like they don't? And that's a really good question, y'all. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we do things when we know that's not what a Christian is supposed to be doing? And you know what? The Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans. He starts in chapter 6 and he goes through chapter 8 and he talks about this. And I can't read it all today. I want y'all to go back, get your Bibles, and read it for yourselves, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. But Paul was specifically addressing the question of why some Christians get stuck after salvation and they just keep living the way they always did. So open up your Bibles. Romans chapter 6. Romans is, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, about 5-6 books in the New Testament. And we're going to start in verse 16. Y'all there yet?
Yeah.
All right. So this is what it says, starting in verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart, the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Amen. There's a couple of important things that Paul is saying here. First, he's saying that whatever we give our lives to, that is the master. And he says point blank, it's either sin or righteousness. Then Paul says, becoming a slave to righteousness is a matter of obedience and it's a matter of the heart.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
You know what? I'm going to take it one step further and I'm going to say that everything in the kingdom of God involves the heart.
Yes, it does. Yes.
In fact, Amen. God is always looking at the posture of our hearts.
Right. Yeah, so good.
And you know, religion forgets that. Religion forgets that. They will tell you, religion says, you got to dress a certain way and you got to act a certain way. Oh, but when people are looking, but you know what you do behind, that's what religion says. Religion says you got to do this, don't do that. And you know what Jesus had to say about that? He railed against the religious leaders who were doing all that and trying to make people do all that. He said this very powerful thing. He said, y'all are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. In other words, y'all look good on the outside, but your hearts are spiritually dead. God is always looking at the heart. It starts with salvation because you ask Jesus into your heart to be the Lord of your life. That means you made a decision in your heart. It's in your heart to let Jesus be your master and not the sin that used to control your life.
Amen.
So the answer to that age-old question, why do some Christians just keep living like they were never saved? It's because they might have asked Jesus to come into their hearts, but there's no willingness to let him be their master.
Come on, yeah. Come on, so good.
Good. Y'all, being a Christian is more than just praying a prayer.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. So,
it's more than just a ticket to heaven, too. It's a changed life by allowing the Holy Spirit to do the changing.
That's right. Yeah.
When we realize it's the Holy Spirit who changes us, that's a blessing. You know why? Because it takes the pressure off of us to try to change on our own.
Right. That's so good.
But it requires participating in the process.
That's right.
So how do you do that? The Sermon on the Mount gives us a blueprint for how to live out our faith. Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5, look, if you do this, your life will be different and you're going to be blessed. And here's why. The Beatitudes are conditional statements, those if and then statements. And Jesus is telling us, if you're a believer, you have a part to play in your faith walk. Now, I'm not talking about salvation here. Let's not get it twisted. There's absolutely nothing you can do to earn salvation. All you got to do is believe and receive. But after that, we do have a part to play to grow our walk with God.
Amen.
That's if we're going to live a blessed life. James 2:24 says this: we are justified by works, not by faith alone. It doesn't say we're saved by works. It says we're justified. And in the context of that verse, justified just means proof.
Yep.
Proof.
Yep.
In other words, our actions prove to others that we really are Christians.
Amen.
It's not saying we can just believe and say we have faith. No, no. Actions. Actions speak louder than words.
That's right.
You know, there's a story in the Bible when Jesus is walking by. He sees this fig tree, right? And this tree's all green and lush, got all the leaves and blooming and looking healthy and vibrant. But there was no fruit. So you know what Jesus did? The savage Jesus. You know what he did? He cursed it.
Right.
He cursed the tree and it died. And he did it because there was no fruit.
Right.
If it was really a fig tree, why were there no figs?
Yep.
Was it really a fig tree? Do y'all see what I'm saying here? As followers of Jesus, there should be fruit in our lives. And in Matthew 5:6, Jesus tells us something really important about this. This is what it says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In this verse, Jesus is saying that when we really long to be in right standing with God, that's righteousness, right standing with God.
Yeah.
It's not about morality, y'all. It's not even about being a good person. Righteousness means being like Jesus, doing and saying things that reflect the heart of God. Righteousness is having right standing with God. So how in the world are we supposed to live like that? Thank you for asking. The only way we can live in right standing with God is through the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's so good. Yeah.
Turn your Bibles to Galatians 3:3. Galatians 3:3. The Apostle Paul talked about that when he said this: after beginning by means of the Holy Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? After beginning, in other words, Paul's talking about when you became a follower of Jesus and then you're walking it out. He's talking about that walk with Jesus, right? And he's saying after you began in the Spirit, why are you trying to walk it out? Hey, you received Jesus. You received Jesus because of the Holy Spirit drawing you into him. That's what Paul's saying. So why are you trying to live out your life as a Christian in your own strength,
right,
without the help of the Holy Spirit?
Right.
It's not going to work.
Right.
Friends, you know why it won't work? Because once you become a follower of Jesus, the devil's not going to leave you alone.
Right.
Don't think he will. He's actually going to ratchet it up. He's not going to leave you alone. We have a real enemy. And once you give your life to Christ, he's going to keep on and he's going to tempt you to stay in your old lifestyle.
Right, right.
And you're no match for him on your own. None of us are. Let me show you what I mean. Say someone gives their life to Christ, right? And then here comes the devil trying to tempt them to stay in that old way of living. Then they try to resist to temptation. What happens? You fail. So then they try behavior modification, thinking, oh, well, you know, I'll just stop doing that. It'll be good, right? And then when that doesn't work, they start to question whether or not they were ever saved in the first place. They don't understand why their life isn't changing. Well, it's because they're trying to walk out their faith in their own strength.
Right. That's right.
Friends, no one can ever be saved without the Holy Spirit drawing you into a relationship with Jesus.
Right.
And when that happens, you start realizing that you're not in right standing with God. So that means the Holy Spirit gives you the desire, the hunger and thirst for righteousness at the moment of salvation. That's why you ask Jesus to save you, because you know you're not in right standing with God. The Holy Spirit quickens you, but you have to keep that hunger alive.
Right.
In Matthew 5:6, Jesus is talking about a consistent longing for righteousness in your life. And you know what? He uses the words hunger and thirst because think about it. Those are two sensations that demand action,
right?
When you're hungry or thirsty, you got to get a little sandwich, get some water, get something to fill it up, right? Then you get hungry again. You got to do it all over again. It's not a one and done thing.
Right.
You know what? I read somewhere one time that scientists say that most people can't survive more than a month without food. I don't know who most of them people are. I can't survive a few hours without food, or things are going to get wild. You know, Pastor Bob knows that too. I love him so much. I'm going to get off topic, but I got to say this. He'll go out and check on houses or do whatever he's doing in the day. And every time he calls me, he says, "Hey, do you want me to grab you something to eat on the way home?" Because he knows I'm not one of them people that can survive a month without food, right? Well, anyway, the point is Jesus uses these words because just like you can't eat and drink once and be good forever, the same thing is true when we hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. And you know why? Because it's a divine hunger. And a divine hunger can only be filled by God. And God uses the Holy Spirit to fill us. You see, we need the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We cannot resist the enemy of our soul in our own strength. Jesus was talking to his disciples one day, and he straight up told them, "Look, I need to die. I have to die. It's better that I die, because only then will God send the Holy Spirit to help you live out in right standing with God." Yeah. Same thing is true for us. Remember the fig tree I was talking about? It looked like it was legit, but it had no fruit. You couldn't tell it was really a fig tree. The same thing can be true for followers of Christ. They're living with no fruit in their life.
Yeah.
And you can't even tell they're really Christians.
Yeah.
Just like that tree. You see, here's the deal. When Jesus saves us, we are not the same. We are a new creation in Christ. We're not 2.0. We're not a better cleaned up version. No, no. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we're not. That's clap worthy. Thank you, Lord. Because I don't want to be the person I used to be. She was a thug. Anyway, we're not supposed to keep living the way we always did because we're not that person. Right? So if we're ever going to impact the world for Jesus, which, by the way, is our God-given mission as Christians. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28. He said we're supposed to be disciples of Christ and we're supposed to make disciples of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
But we can't do that if we're doing all the same things that unbelievers do, because we're not going to have any influence.
Yeah.
This is why you have to stay hungry for righteousness.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, it means that you're willing to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and there will be fruit when you do that. You know, Galatians 5:22 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. So turn to me. Turn with me to Galatians 5:22, and this is what it says. It says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Look at that word patience. You know, in the Greek, it really translates to long-tempered or long-suffering.
Yeah.
That's the meekness that Pastor Bob was talking about last week.
Yep.
Long-suffering is really strength under control. It's not doing whatever you want to do. Because you're taking others into consideration. You're thinking about how what you want to do might impact someone else. And to be honest, this is a struggle for us. This is a struggle for everybody, for that matter, because humanity is born a certain kind of way. We're selfish. We're rebellious. We want what we want. Why shouldn't we get it?
Come on.
Am I wrong?
Come on.
You know, I've even heard Christians say, "Well, Jesus died so I can be free. If I'm not sinning, why can't I just do what I want to do?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know what? Yeah, it's true. Jesus died to set us free, right? But that doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want to do.
Right. Come on.
1 Corinthians 8:9, Paul says this: "Take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." You know, and this is Paul was addressing Christians in the course of in the church of Corinth, but it's still a timely word right now.
Right. Yeah.
Paul is saying, "Hey, you may not think what you're doing is a sin, and technically it might not be a sin, but if it could cause someone else to stumble or to be tempted, don't do it."
Right. Come on.
Y'all, that's what long-suffering is. Relinquishing the right to do something that we can do because it might cause someone else to stumble in their walk.
So good.
Another fruit of the Spirit is love. And sometimes love requires long-suffering.
Yeah,
ask Pastor Bob about that. But think about it. How powerful of a message you are sending to others when you don't insist on getting what you want, getting your own way, and you're actually able to do it because you've submitted to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's a testimony. That's a testimony that people will actually pay attention to because they see it with their own eyes. You are literally a walking sermon when people see the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. They don't even have to know that it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. They don't need to know nothing about that. They just see, hey, you say you're a Christian and your life don't look like theirs. When we allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in us, we start to develop the fruits of the Spirit. And these are the earmarks of a true follower of Christ. Now, I don't want you to feel like you got to do all of them. You got to display all of them at the same time. There are going to be times when you're not walking in all of these fruits at the same time, and that's okay. That's okay, y'all, because you know what? The Christian walk is a walk.
Right.
It's not a marathon. You're not competing. And actually, it might even be more like a stroll, like a little slow, methodical stroll. Our youngest daughter, Pastor Bob used to call it the Terry Trot, but it wasn't no trot, it was a stroll. When she was a teenager, she used to stroll instead of walk. It was the funniest thing. And she perfected it. Like, she had all the time in the world. I'm just going to stroll through this. And, man, me and Pastor Bob would be trying to get somewhere. It would take her forever just to get down the stairs and into the car. She just strolled around. But I got to say, it was methodical. She got where she was going. She might not have gotten there as fast as we wanted her to, but she got there. Friends, your walk with Jesus can look a lot like that. Probably is. Because developing a new lifestyle, living for Jesus instead of living the way you always did, that's going to take some time. It's slow and methodical, one step at a time. And you're probably going to trip and fall along the way. But the key is you got to keep getting back up and let the Holy Spirit help you. Every person in this room has a story. And every one of our stories has hits and it has misses. There are going to be times you got it right, and there are going to be times when you messed up. You either messed up intentionally because you thought you could get away with some stuff, or maybe you didn't realize the consequences of what you were doing.
Right.
And this is true whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. We all have hits and misses in our lives. But if you have given your life to Jesus, we have something that unbelievers don't have. When a follower of Jesus falls, we have the Holy Spirit to help us get back up. And not only that, to remind us of what we're supposed to do. You know, I've heard it called a conscience. That ain't right. No, because you know what? A conscience is about morality based on someone's personal opinion of right or wrong. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, the third part of who God is. So the Holy Spirit will prompt you according to the Word of God,
right,
not somebody's opinion.
Right.
When you're a born-again follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit with you all the time.
Amen.
And it's to guide you and to lead you into righteousness. Jesus says in John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, whom God the Father will send in my name, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
Amen.
Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit teaches us and he reminds us of what we've already learned from God. I don't know about y'all, but I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Because you know what? People be trying my patience. And it is so easy for me to pop off on somebody. But thank God the Holy Spirit will shut me down every time. You got to submit to it. And you know what? This is what it's like. It's like this gentle whisper. Not out loud, but it's a gentle whisper deep in your spirit. And it says, are you sure you really want to do that? Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. The Holy Spirit is a gift, y'all. Amen. And it's a gift for believers, for followers of Jesus. But like any gift, you got to open it and use it. So when the Holy Spirit prompts you, we got to listen. We got to follow. Brandon, if you'll come, I'm going to end this message, and I want to talk to you a little bit about King David. King David was known as a man after God's own heart, right? That's how God described him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because King David was perfect. Matter of fact, he was far from it. He was an adulterer. He was a liar, a schemer. He was a man of war. And you know what? He had a temper and he struggled with lust. King David sounds like some of us. But you know what God loved about David? It was his heart. King David never hardened his heart towards God. He never did that. Even when he got called out for his sin, King David didn't make excuses. He didn't make excuses. He mourned over his sin. He was truly broken and contrite, and he repented. King David would literally cry out to God, imploring God to help him do better, to help him be a man of God. King David had a hunger and thirst for righteousness. So God filled him every single time. Every time King David messed up because he had a hunger and thirst to be in right standing with God, God filled him. And he'll do it for you too. He'll do it for you too. You know, the beautiful thing about God is how much he loves us. Religion will mess you up when it comes to God. Religion will tell you he's mad. You did this. He's angry at you. That's not who God is. God loves you. He loves us so much. He wants what's best for us. And God knows how we are. Scripture says that God knows we are but dust. We're nothing without him. He knows we're weak. He knows we can be rebellious, self-centered, self-righteous. And God knows we're going to struggle with sin. So you know what? In his love and his mercy and his grace, God set a plan in motion from the very beginning of time. Even before you were born, God had a plan to draw you back to him. Draw you back to him when you get lost or you lose your way. God made a way for you to come back to him, to right standing with him. God created us for relationship with him. That was the hope. That's why you are here. If you want to know your purpose, it's to be in relationship with God and with others. God created us for relationship. So when sin breaks that unity, God has a plan. He has a plan. The Holy Spirit is part of that plan because it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to repentance, that quickens us and says, hey, you know, that's not right. But it's also the Holy Spirit that allows us to receive the gift of salvation, the free gift of salvation, because that was part of God's plan. He sent the Holy Spirit to draw us to him, but he sent his son Jesus to pay for our sins. Sin has price, and Jesus paid it. Even if you've never given your life to Jesus, he already paid for your sin. That's how much God loves you. That's a love you can't even fathom, because God's love is perfect, it's beautiful, and it's powerful. His love reaches down to wherever you are, doing whatever you're doing, and he draws you back to him. God's immeasurable love doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. He sent us the Holy Spirit. Once we receive salvation, We receive the free gift of salvation from Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our gift to help us, walk out a life of right standing with God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Will you bow your heads? Just bow your heads and close your eyes here just for a minute. I want to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you pursue us with an everlasting love. You know us. You know that we are but dust. You know we're not going to get it right all the time, Lord, and you have a plan to bring us back to you. Thank you for that, Lord. God, you are so beautiful and so merciful. I pray right now that you just soften hearts, open up blind eyes, and let us see just how beautiful and loving you really are. Lord, wash away any kind of thoughts or ideas of you being mad at us or angry. Lord, let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt just how loving and beautiful you are. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you, Father, that none of us are so far away from you that you can't reach us. Thank you for that, Lord. Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that we couldn't pay, to be the sacrifice for our sins once and forever. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. And God, I ask you to forgive us where we miss the mark. Forgive us, Lord. Draw us back into you. Lead us into righteousness for your name's sake, Father. God, I pray right now, if there's somebody here who doesn't know you, Lord, that you just quicken their spirit. Let the work of your Holy Spirit draw them into you, Father. And let them receive the gift of salvation and walk out their life changed because of what Jesus did. Father, I pray that no memories, no regret, no shame, no guilt, nothing that the enemy is trying to send right now to stop what you want to do, I pray that none of that will get in the way of what you want to do right now in your house this morning. Lord, draw us into you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Just if you just stay a minute longer with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you this. If you have never given your life to Jesus, if you've never made that decision to just surrender it to him and to let him be the master of your life instead of doing it your own way, if you've never done that and you know that right now you feel the Holy Spirit, you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you in, if that's you, you have an opportunity right now to say yes. To say, yes, Jesus, here you go. Save me, change me, make me new. All you got to do is pray a simple prayer. Pray a simple prayer. I'll lead you in the prayer. Matter of fact, anybody who's here who's already a Christian, you just repeat after me. And if you want to give your life to Jesus right now, you just repeat after all of us. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.